Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
Throughout the history of all the nations on earth, there have only been a few leaders and rulers not wanting to excessively control their people or be in a position where they answered to no one. For citizens to blindly believe and do what ruling dictators say only makes these rulers more unaccountable. In the 19th century, a famous statement about a leader's lust for power said, "Power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely." In the Jewish line of kings, many thought that they were above the law and could take human life using their command as king. These Jews seem to forget that God is over all people. In Romans chapter 14, it says, "Each of us will give an account of himself to God." Many modern people don't believe in a judgment day promised at the end of this age. They want to live for the here and now and worry about such things later. But those who neglect their opportunities now may not be given the time to fix things up later with God. King Herod the Great and his descendants played a significant role in Jewish history during the last century BC and the first half of the first century AD. Herod was born in 74 BC, but wasn't a Jew. His father had been a pious man who had worshipped the Jewish God sincerely, but the Jewish people always looked down on his family as being racially impure. Herod had an Arabian mother, and it was commonly held that one could only be a Jew if one was born from a Jewish mother. Herod the Great ruled Judea for 34 years until his death in 4 BC. He ruled with the support of the Roman army and in compliance with the Roman power brokers of the time. Herod organized an extensive building program after an earthquake in 31 BC, destroyed many homes and killed thousands of people. He also repaired and enlarged the temple built by Zerubbabel after the Babylonian exile. This project wasn't finished in his lifetime because it took 46 years to complete. Herod the Great was succeeded by his sons Antipas, Philip, and Agrippa, but these men were called district rulers and weren't kings. After some time, however, Herod Agrippa made a trip to Rome and was made a king. The history of the Herods is very complicated, as can be expected when Herod the Great had 10 wives and had some of his sons executed for treason. A daughter of the Jewish high priest, Herodias, married her half-uncle, Herod Philip, and they had a daughter who was not named in scripture. Other historical documents call this girl Salome. Herodias divorced her husband Philip when Antipas agreed to also divorce his wife. This scandal had never been laid to rest, as it is recorded in the scriptures. A Jewish woman couldn't marry another man while her first husband was still alive. The subsequent marriage of Antipas and Herodias was illegal and immoral under Jewish law. A well-known 19th century writer had a saying, "Sooner or later in life, we all sit down to a banquet of consequences." Today's Bible adventure, Herod Antipas was called to account by none other than the popular man in the wilderness, John the Baptist. Herodias looked for revenge at the first opportunity.
It's that man of the wilderness.
John the Baptist? Uh-huh. Well, what about him? What happened? What did he do?
I went to hear him preach with some of my courtiers.
Yes?
He is a great man. Preaches truth.
You're disturbed, Herod. You sound frightened. You're not telling me everything.
He spoke of my unfaithfulness. He denounced my iniquitous alliance with you.
Me?
I did steal you from my own brother.
You did nothing of the sort. I love you more than I ever loved him. So I left him and I came to you. What's wrong with that?
I am trying to be rid of the lust that overcomes me.
Lust?
Yeah, you.
That unkempt, bearded man of the wilderness dared speak like that to you, the king, and publicly?
He spoke to me face to face, like the real man that he is, and I...
And you believed him. Are you going to get rid of me?
Oh, you know I'd never do that.
Oh, well, then everything's all right, dear, but... Well, I am a little surprised that my strong-minded and self-assured king would let anyone... Especially an ignorant wilderness rat talk to him like that.
But Herodias, my wife, he spoke truth.
Truth? Huh. The truth, my royal husband, is that you are king. Your word is law. You can do no wrong.
Yes, that's true, isn't it?
Herod, do you love me?
Oh, of course I do, Herodias. Certainly you have no doubts about that.
Doubts? You let that preacher say awful things about me. If you do love me, Herod, and if you are king, you'll punish him for his impertinence and treason to the crown.
Yes, I suppose I should. But John the Baptist is a good man, and he but spoke what
he
is...
He insulted you, and he insulted me. Of course, I don't count, but you do, Herod. You're the king. Your subjects must realize that as king, you can do no wrong. And no one must say even one word against you or your Roman superiors. Send for him, Herod. Capture him. Cast John the Baptist into the dungeon.
All right, dear.
Naturally, John, as your disciples, we are concerned. You've been in this dungeon for weeks. Why? I mean, Jesus of Nazareth, you heralded his coming. You prepared the way. You've done many things for him. And now that you're in trouble, why doesn't he do something for you? Now's the time for him to proclaim himself king of Israel. Then he can deliver you and the poor and the suffering. Then he can cast down the pride of our Roman oppressors and sit upon David's throne.
I don't know. Sometimes doubts torture my spirits. Doubts that Jesus is the Messiah. But he is. Never will I surrender my faith in Jesus. Never.
Well, I doubt. Sometimes very much. He leaves you here in this dungeon to rot. You sacrificed your entire life to him.
Perhaps you should go and talk to Jesus personally. Yes, I'll send two of you with a message. Go to him and ask him outright if he is the Messiah or if he is not. I'm sure the Savior will renew your faith in him and bring you assurance of his divinity. Bring me word. Oh, I do so long for some word directly from Jesus.
Jesus! Sir, our master, John, of the wilderness, now cast into King Herod's dungeon, sent us to thee to inquire. Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? What's that? Look! Master, this man we carry is possessed of demons!
Satan, I say unto thee, leave this man, and enter no more into him.
I'm well. I'm well. Thank you, Master. Thank you.
Master, I hear thy voice, but cannot see thee, for I am blind.
Thy sight be restored unto thee.
I can see. Truly, Master, thou art the Messiah.
Oh, Jesus acts as if he didn't even hear our questions.
Jesus heard our question. I think he's answering it by healing all these sick and suffering and blind, so that we can have no doubt that he is the Messiah.
Well, come on, let's return to the dungeon.
No. We shall remain here all day and watch Jesus, listen to his every word, and witness his every deed.
The day wore away, the disciples of John seeing and hearing all. At last Jesus called them to him.
I bid you go tell your master John the Baptist what you have witnessed here today. Say unto him, Blessed is he whosoever shall find no occasion to stumble and lose faith in me.
John the Baptist had plenty of time to think while he was in prison. He couldn't be more than 35 years old at this time, and it seemed that his ministry was over. There were no law courts to examine and investigate a charge against him. John sat in prison awaiting Herod Antipas's good pleasure. For someone who always wanted to spend his days in the great outdoors, John must have found prison life quite a trial. Knowing he had served God faithfully, John the Baptist could have been disappointed that Jesus didn't help him in some way. But for Jesus' part, as soon as he heard that John had been arrested, Jesus moved away to Galilee. As time went by, doubts began to creep into John's mind. Although John's disciples visited him in prison, doubts feed on loneliness. Was Jesus really doing the role of the Messiah? Should he be spending so much time healing people rather than teaching and setting up his new kingdom? When you find yourself in a sea of doubt, do what John did. He sent two of his disciples to visit Jesus with a question. Was Jesus both the chosen one and the Messiah? John knew what he had experienced with the Lord Jesus, but time drags for those who live shut off from what's going on in the world. Discouragement and depression can crowd a person's mind to get a warped view of even the most important things. When John's disciples returned with Jesus' message, John was lifted above his past doubts to faith in Jesus again. He understood that he may have to suffer death at the hands of Antipas. He could see that there would never be any reconciliation between Jesus and the scribes and Pharisees. Jesus made no attempt to be a soldier leader of the Jewish people and fight against the Roman overlords. John the Baptist was prepared to lay down his life if that was God's will for him. In some parts of the world, every year, thousands of Christians who love the Lord Jesus refuse to deny him or return to worshipping some former cultural idol. These people are often executed for their faith, but God's kingdom remains their future home. Jesus also suffered death, and we, all his disciples, can expect to suffer in some ways too. Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 15, "If they persecuted me, they'll also persecute you." We mustn't compromise so that we will escape suffering. An elderly pastor wrote in his Bible study notes that if God has allowed us to go through great troubles, we'll receive his divine comfort, which will deepen our sensitivity to others and enrich our ministry among the believers in Christ. He warned, "Don't, whatever you do, ask God to deliver you from the painful or sorrowful experiences. They are worth much, much more than they cost." How should we handle life's hurts and sorrows? Some advise pretending that they don't exist. Others say to display a full vent of your emotions, to kick and shout and scream, to let out those pent-up feelings. These are not very biblical or mature ways of handling negative emotions. The right way is to neither deny them or aggressively express them, but rather acknowledge them and present these issues to the Lord. Denial only pushes them down inside us, and expression dumps them on others. We should take our troubles, whatever type they are, in prayer to God, and fully express them to him. We should tell God we're hurt and thank him that he loves us. We have a wonderful opportunity to ask him to help to handle our feelings in a way that glorifies God and honors his name. If you are still a doubter about the claims of the Lord Jesus being the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, then start reading the Gospels, asking if Jesus is real, he will reveal himself to you. Being a Christian is about a daily relationship with him. We can't be right in God's eyes by trying to be good or practice religious rituals or trying to keep God's laws. We need to die to ourselves and our own plans so that we can pursue something far more important, the cause of Christ. And then from this, we find our God-given destiny. This week's memory verse is James chapter 1, verse 6. When you pray, you must believe and not doubt at all. The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. You can also contact us through our website, www.bibleradio.org.au. Those addresses again, and the website, bibleradio.org.au. We're looking forward to hearing from you. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time. Jesus.